Please remain standing and turn in your Bibles, please, to St. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. We come to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. What will we study next week? I have no idea. Pray for me. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was his fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And may God add his richest blessing to the reading of this portion of his Holy Word. Will you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your word. It is your word. You spoke it. We pray that you would be here, that you would speak to us now through your Holy Spirit and by your word, and that hearing your voice, that we would know you and follow you and offer our hearts to you promptly and sincerely, in spite of the inability and sin of the preacher. In your name, for your honor and glory. Amen. Be seated, please. A storm is coming. The great Galveston hurricane of September 1900 is, to this day, still considered the deadliest natural disaster in U.S. history. It hit Galveston, Texas, on the Gulf Coast on the morning of September the 8th, 1900. It arched out northwest to Oklahoma, then continued to turn back to the northeast, coming back across the Midwest. So I'll switch my hand gestures for your perspective. Turned back out Oklahoma and then turned back northeast, coming back across the Midwest, New York, and Canada. It finally fizzled out near Iceland. The storm is generally believed to have caused 8,000 fatalities, with some estimates as high as 12,000, most in Texas. But there were deaths in Canada, all the way up to Canada, mostly resulting from the storm surge at Lake Ontario. In the United States, there were fatalities in Missouri, Illinois, Ohio, New York, and even one in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. There was property damage all the way to Maine. In this passage, we come to the conclusion of a Sermon on the Mount. And the last thing Jesus said in this sermon was that a storm is coming. Even back in 1900, they had enough technology to know a storm was coming to Galveston, Texas. We know the storm is coming. Jesus told us clearly. You don't need radar when you have the Son of God Himself telling you what's coming. And Jesus not only warned us that a storm is coming, He told us how to prepare for it. Now let's get to it. First, in this passage we see wise preparation. Wise preparation. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And we all learned the song in the nursery. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Now, there's a reason why Jesus chose this metaphor. He was a carpenter by trade. In those days, houses, the walls were built of stone block, but the roofs had wooden beams, rafters. I expect Jesus had framed roofs of houses around Jerusalem. Or up around Nazareth. And he knew that if what was under that house was not solid, everything he did on the roof was doomed. You can build a beautiful house. But if the house is not on a solid foundation, all the work and money you put into it is in vain. If the foundation is bad, nothing else matters. No matter how much work you put into it, no matter how nice it looks. Now, the wise man who built on solid rock, Jesus says that is an illustration of the man who listened to him, heard his words, and then did them. Now, this was not an original concept with Jesus. It runs throughout what's called the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, so forth. For example, listen to these words from Proverbs chapter 4. Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, it's wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom, the wise man. He not only hears or reads the words Jesus said, but his heart retains those words. He keeps those words, and he does not turn away from those words. He not only hears or reads Jesus say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He reads or hears it and realizes that he is, in fact, poor in spirit. The wise man not only knows that Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, the wise man puts it into practice and really prays. Not only to know the words of Jesus, but to do them. That's to be on a solid foundation. And it's wise preparation for the coming storm. We see wise preparation. Secondly, in this passage, we see foolish neglect. Foolish neglect. Look at verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Again, the illustration is the same. Man built a house. He did work. But since he did not begin on a good foundation, all his work finally came to nothing. And this foolish man is the one who hears, who reads Jesus' words, but does not put them into practice. The point is that if we do not heed and properly respond to the words of Jesus Christ, nothing else we do will matter. Think of the house here as your life. You could put a lot of work into it. You could spend hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars on it. Nowadays, you can install smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostat, put a slate roof on it, fancy brickwork on the corners, coin, I think they call it. You could put all of that, metaphorically speaking, into your life like a luxury house. But Jesus said, if you do not live by the Word of God, all you put into it, into your life, all you did with your life, it will all finally turn out to be a colossal and eternal waste. If we neglect the words of Jesus Christ, nothing else matters. Foolish neglect. We see wise preparation, foolish neglect. Thirdly, in this passage, we see the coming storm. The coming storm. Look at verse 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now look at verse 27. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. It's a great storm that's coming. The same storm, described in the exact same words, word for word, that came upon both houses. The same thing. The storm, same storm, revealed the foundations of the houses and the wisdom or foolishness of the builders. The judgment, or the coming of the Lord, is pictured throughout Scripture in various ways. One of them is a storm. Of course, in the days of Noah, God's judgment came as the greatest storm that's ever come upon this earth, the flood. The Lord appeared to Job and his so-called friends to settle the matter in the whirlwind, a cyclone. When the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai to meet God and receive the law, there was thundering and lightning on the mountain. Psalm 29 says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars." Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. The storm is coming. It's an image of judgment. The coming judgment of God. The blast from his voice, snapping the trees in two, like a great hurricane. Jesus told us how to be prepared for that storm, for the day of judgment. When the first storm ever came, the Lord told Noah what to do. He told him to build an ark. Now here, Jesus tells us how to be safe in the last day. Heed His word. What have we been studying in the Sermon on the Mount for the last year? I looked it up. I did not plan it out this way, but I discovered that we started studying the Sermon on the Mount the third Sunday of April last year. And we finished it the third Sunday of April today. Now, I won't rehash a year's worth of messages minus a few holidays. But let's review a few things. Do you know that you are poor in spirit? A sinner with no claim on God? Have you mourned for your sins? Repented? Have you humbled yourself before God and become meek? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness because you know you have no righteousness of your own? Have you come to trust Jesus Christ alone? Have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? Do you realize that you have absolutely nothing, no goodness, no righteousness that will pass the day of judgment? Jesus alone laid the foundation. Apostle Paul said, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, even Jesus Christ the Lord. The foundation is His perfect life, His death for our sins, His resurrection. By 3:30, quarter to 4, yesterday, a hot, sunny Carolina afternoon, sky suddenly went black. And seemingly in an instant, as heavy rain as I have ever seen was pouring down on Clover. When the storm clouds come, it gets dark fast. The Old Testament prophets said the day of the Lord was coming, and it would be a day of darkness. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, the sky went dark in the middle of the day. Now, it was a supernatural darkness, to be sure. Don't misunderstand me. But what did the supernatural darkness mean? A storm was coming down on Jesus. The judgment we deserve was coming down on Him. And He absorbed the blow, all of it, so that all who will flee to Him for refuge will be safe in that great and final day. We see wise preparation, foolish neglect, the coming storm, and fourthly and finally, we see the appropriate response. The appropriate response. Look at verse 28. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, people who heard the Sermon on the Mount were amazed. They were amazed at the authority with which Jesus spoke. The scribes were scholars. Their rabbis were scholars. Their authority was found in their quotation of the best biblical scholarship. Their authority was found in the number of footnotes they compiled. Quoting the authoritative and respected rabbis and scribes that had preceded them. Not Jesus. Jesus didn't quote the rabbis. No, Jesus simply said, "I say to you." He's God. He wrote the Bible. He wrote the Old Testament. The author does not need an interpreter to explain it to him. They marveled at the authority with which he spoke. They were impressed with him. But we do not read that they heeded his words. We can listen to sermons. Some preachers are better communicators than others. Many are better than I am. But the point is not how impressive the speaker is. That wasn't even the point with Jesus himself. The point is, what will you do with the Word of God? Galveston hurricane of 1900, the deadliest storm in the history of the United States. Listen to these words from the Houston Chronicle. The people of Galveston knew on Friday that a storm was approaching their thriving island city. At 10:30 a.m., a red flag with a black center was hoisted atop a pole on the downtown levee building where the U.S. Weather Bureau maintained an office and an array of weather reading instruments. The flag meant a storm was expected. Above it, a white pennant that was intended to show the direction from which a storm was coming flapped in the north wind. In the weather office, Isaac Klein, a mustachioed 38-year-old chief of the Bureau, read a telegram from headquarters in Washington, D.C., where all official hurricane warnings were issued. There was a tropical storm, it said, south of Louisiana and moving slowly northwest. Quote, high northerly winds tonight and Saturday with probably heavy rain. Galveston had seen storms before and weathered them all. They called them overflows when the storm tides rose above normal and spilled into the city's oyster shell streets. As the island's weather expert and chief of the Weather Bureau for Texas, Klein had reassured Galveston before that the island was not vulnerable to serious storm damage. Delighting city boosters, he even had committed such forthright opinions to the local newspaper, writing once that anyone who thought massive destruction to Galveston was possible suffered from, quote, an absurd delusion. They knew a storm was coming. But in their pride, in their hubris, they thought they didn't need to prepare. And the city was completely destroyed. We know a storm is coming. And we know what to do. Will you do it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.